I was looking at a Jewish website this past week, and something caught my eye, and what actually caught my eye was 10 steps to preparing for Passover. So I thought it might be interesting to read it. And it's interesting that we will actually today be having a sermon by Mr. Armstrong. It's one that we have played before. It's a Passover examination. It was played about 5 years ago here. But in that, Mr. Armstrong talks about examination for Passover. Well, the Passover that the Jews were talking about wasn't the Passover that you and I are talking about, although the Seder that they have is somewhat similar. But it's more the days of unleavened bread. And talking about unleavened bread, there was point number five, which I thought was particularly interesting, and that was selling the shametz. Now, the shametz is the leavened bread. If you go actually look up the word leavened bread in a Strong's, you'll find that the word is shametz. He says, we are commanded to have no shametz in our possession during Passover. Now, as I say, Passover to them is all the days of unleavened bread. It's the whole period. Do we have to burn the closed bag of schnitzel in the freezer? Oh, no, our rabbis have made it possible for us to sell this shametz to non-Jews prior to the holiday. So you've got there's something in your freezer that you haven't opened yet? Well, all you have to do is to go ahead and sell that. And they've made it quite easy to do this. As generally, we sell shametz to a rabbi, who in turn acts as an agent, which is, again makes you think, doesn't it? And he sells it on to a non-Jew. The sale is real in that the non-Jew can actually get the shametz if he really wants. And if the non-Jew decides to keep the shametz, then he or she must pay for it after the holiday. So not even money transfers goes from hand to hand. You can use this official online form for selling shametz to sell your shametz before Passover. And so that was the one that caught my eye. And the scripture that sprang to mind is over in 2 Corinthians. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians, because this is really the scripture that came to my mind after on reading that particular segment of the 10 steps to preparing for Passover as far as the Jews were concerned. Because here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 14 it says, and not as Moses, in verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. They read the Old Testament, they read the passages the same as you and I, and they do not have the same kind of understanding. Which veil is done away in Christ? So in other words, once you have the mind of God through Christ, when that mind actually comes and we have access to it, then that veil comes away and we can read the Old Testament in the right way. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is on their hearts. Nevertheless, when that heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And earlier on in that same chapter, it talks about the actual ministry within the church in verse 6. It says, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And Mr. Armstrong used to use that verse continually to show us that we have to go to the attitude, we have to go to the principle. Always, but always, we must go to the principle and the attitude behind something. And therefore, when we're looking even at the subject of unleavened bread, and particularly, which is what I want to do today, applying this spirit of the law to the physical aspect of unleavening, or being de-leavened, we have to go to the spirit of the law as to what we allow, what we disallow. So that's what I'd like to talk about today. Because I have read in certain I remember a particular unleavened bread recipe book, or recipes that was put out by, I happen to notice, by another group, giving unleavened bread recipes, but they were going around the very spirit of the law, and they were including recipes that literally were trying to get around unleavened bread by using other techniques. So this is the purpose of actually giving this sermonette today. I thought it would be worthwhile to do that before we go into unleavened bread. Because we're de-leavening. We're thinking, what are we going to get rid of? What aren't we going to get rid of? And what I want to do is basically talk about how we need to apply the spirit of God's law to what we allow or disallow physically as leavened products. Now, the scripture I want to turn to, first of all, is Luke chapter 21. Sorry, Luke chapter 12. Beg your pardon, misread my notes. Luke chapter 12. Because here we find Christ actually tying leavening in to something very, very specific. Here in Luke chapter 12. Christ, it says, in the meantime, in verse 1, there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch as they trod upon one another. And he, that's Jesus Christ, began to say to his disciples, first of all. So here he is actually explaining a principle to his disciples. And he said, beware you of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he uses the term leaven, and he expresses the problem as leavening. And he says, which is hypocrisy. Now the question is, what's hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is where you give an impression to somebody that is not true. And you say, well, why does Christ therefore use the word leaven in this case? Well, because when you're looking at bread, the actual substance that is there isn't what it appears to be. What most of it is when you look at bread is air. It's air. You're not looking at the real substance. If you've got just the ingredients and you've just have those ingredients by themselves, it would be quite flat and you'd get unleavened bread. But by having air put into it, by puffing it up, you have something that is not what it seems to be. For it says, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nor hid that will not be known. In other words, this impression that's coming across is not real. It's something that is not there. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light. That which you have spoken in the ears of the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. You're going to have it. It's all going to come out in the wash eventually, Christ is saying. And this also ties, if you want to put in your notes, 1 Corinthians 5:7, which I won't turn to today, but it talks about the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It actually defines it as sincerity of truth that is regarding unleavened bread is concerned, because it contrasts with hypocrisy that is here. And why is this a problem? Well, if we turn over to Ezekiel 28, we find the problem actually occurring initially from Satan himself. Because here in Ezekiel 28, you find over in verse 15, it says, you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. So there's a problem. Sin was actually there, and leavening really is a type of sin. That's what you're getting rid of when we're actually cleaning our houses. We're symbolically cleaning them up from sin. By the multitude of your merchandise, they filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. So here was this spirit being that had sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you or remove you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. I'll take you away from the stones of fire, which is you're talking about God's throne. Your heart was lifted up. It was puffed up. And here again we see the symbolism and why Christ used the term leaven when he's referring to the Pharisees, and why here we see this where this attitude of mind actually comes from. It says, your heart was lifted up, it was puffed up because of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. You're giving an impression as a created being to be something that you weren't. You're going to ascend yourself, you ascend above the mountain of the height of the clouds and be in the sides of the north, to be like God himself, or even above God. That's what he was in fact aiming for. And I'll cast you to the ground, I'll lay you before kings that they may behold you. Actually see the result of that frame of mind. So when we're looking at something as far as leavening is concerned, we see that the satanic attitude of pride and being puffed up is the symbolism. That's the essence. That's the heart and core of leavened bread. So when we're looking at this shemetz, the leaven products, that is really what God is talking about. When we look at the spirit, the attitude, that the frame of mind behind it, it is the puffing up that is the frame of mind. So when we actually therefore apply this, how do we apply that physically? Now obviously, bread. Bread, where you get yeast and you mix it with flour and water and molasses or something like that, and you put it in there, the yeast works on the molasses and works on the bread, and it puffs it up, and you put it very carefully into the oven to go ahead and make sure that, because if you just get the bread just before you put it in the oven, you bang it in the oven, it'll go down flat as a pancake. So you very carefully put in the oven, and you preserve that air that is in there, and then it almost, you're cooking it, fixes that air in there so that you have this lovely, nice, soft loaf that comes out of the other end. And that is the essence of leavened bread. And that's why leavening certainly includes yeast products or anything to do with yeast products, anything to do with bread as leavened bread. That is all part of the main thrust of it. And then we also should be getting rid of all that area of our life, out of our life, as far as physically is concerned, prior to the days of unleavened bread, and avoid the breads during the days of unleavened bread. Cakes also. Particularly things such as sponge cakes and that kind of thing, where you've got baking soda that you put into the cake. All forms of baking soda really is there to puff it up. It changes from calcium bicarbonate, isn't it? And then it changes from calcium bicarbonate to calcium carbonate, and it releases carbon dioxide, and the carbon dioxide then puffs up the whatever you're mixing into the bicarbonate of soda into. So certainly, baking soda is something that you throw out, and you throw out all cakes and biscuits and all the other aspects that would involve baking soda or that kind of raising agent. But the reason I'm giving this sermonette is that I've seen church cookbooks that have actually, as I say, cookbooks that have been written by organisations claiming to be the part of the Church of God, that in fact give recipes which then try and bypass. You say, right, we'll avoid all yeast, we'll avoid all baking soda, but what we'll do is we'll get eggs. And instead of being, if you want a pancake, what do you make? What's a pancake made of? It's made of flour, milk, and eggs, and maybe some water and salt, or something like that, and that makes a pancake. And a pancake's dead flat. But what they can do is if you take the egg, and you take particularly the egg white, and you beat it up, you can then start to put air into it, and then you mix that, you fold that into a cake, and that then puts leavening into the cake. It does exactly the same thing. What you're doing is your action of whisking the egg white or whisking the egg is putting the leavening into whatever it is that you're making. And it doesn't even have to be that. I mean, the classic one really is Yorkshire pudding. I mean, Yorkshire pudding. I love Yorkshire puddings. Now, for all you American brethren over there, whether you know what a Yorkshire pudding is, I'm not quite sure. But it's a traditional British custom, whatever it is, from Yorkshire, which is just a pudding, which basically you eat with meat and with potatoes and with all your vegetables, and you fill it full of gravy. And it is delicious. It is absolutely delicious. And how it's made is rather unique, because the same kind of batter that you'd use for pancakes, you actually use for Yorkshire pudding. It's exactly the same. And yet this Yorkshire pudding is fluffed up. You know, it can stand 3 inches high quite easily on all the way around the edges. You have a cupcake, metal cupcake container, whatever, baking tray, and it's the way you actually treat that mixture. And what you do, not being a cook, but as I understand it, the secret is to get the oven really hot, and you put oil into the bottom of each of these cupcake baking trays, and you put it into the oven, and you get it so hot that it actually starts to smoke. The actual oil starts to smoke. You take it out, and very quickly you take one spoonful after another and drop it into that oil all the way through the cupcake and get it back in the oven straight away again. And the hot oil and the heat of the actual metal that you've got there goes into the outside edge of that mixture, which would normally be pancake mix, and it causes it just suddenly to explode and go up the side. So you have this sudden rising by about 3 inches. And yet there's no leavening agent there whatsoever. None. Nothing at all. But the action is putting the leavening in. It's actually putting the air into the Yorkshire pudding. And you can have all your whipped egg whites of all descriptions like this. So again, the question is, what is the spiritual application? How do we apply the spirit of God's law to what we allow or what we disallow during the days of unleavened bread? Essentially, it is things that are puffed up. You know, should we have puffed wheat? There's no leavening in puffed wheat. There's no bicarbonate soda. There's no yeast in puffed wheat. Should we have it? Well, you judge. Is it puffed up? Should we have popcorn? Again, there's no leavening in there. Should we therefore not have any popcorn on the shelf? Well, there's no leavening there at all. But then, is it puffed up? When you start to actually use it in a certain way, is that therefore puffed up? Again, what we have got to make sure we understand is that we are not ministers. We are not administering the Old Covenant. We don't have to go like the Jews do, and we then work our way around the principles at all. Far from working our way around the principles. We apply, we go and seek out, we look for the principles. We apply those principles, and we ask, well, you know, is this really going along the mindset? Is it going along the concept that God has for us in understanding the days of unleavened bread? And if we do that, then we can answer all these questions. We can answer them ourselves, so that we ourselves can say, well, is this something that we should have? Is this something we shouldn't have? And the basic fundamental point is, does it puff up? Does it puff up? Because that is the essence of what Christ was talking about. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, which is something on the surface that you see, which is not, which is actually not underneath. And that's the symbolism that is being used all the time. And so, as it says over in 1 Corinthians 5:8, therefore let us keep this feast, but it's not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.